fellow geek brethren, you have come to the right place for all of your gaming, gadgets, technology, anime, video games, comic books, and anything else you can think of. It is GeekSpeak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, live from Brooklyn, New York, Ian Levenstein. Hey there, everybody. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to GeekSpeak here at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. Episode 39 of the GeekSpeak podcast. Wow, one away from 40 already. This is really getting odd here, but we are conducting a nice little roundtable here, a comic GeekSpeak forums roundtable, if you will, as that's where I know all these folks from, and we're going to be discussing genre television today. So this is a showcase spotlight focusing upon genre television, whether it's dying out, whether it's evolving, whether it's changing, or whether it's exactly the same, and I'm just making this all up. We'll get into that as this show rolls on. Let me introduce the panel. I'll start things off with John Mayo, a man who I've grown to know over the Comic Geek Speak forums. John, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Doing as well over here. Also joining us today, Christopher Gallo, better known as Webhead on the forums. Christopher, how are you?
Oh, good, good. How are you?
I'm doing quite fine here. I got the air conditioner on. I'm relaxing. And also joining us, Troy Mata, who I've known over at the Comic Geek Speak forums as well. Troy, what's your name over there again?
Number six.
Number six, exactly. Well, you're number one on today's podcast. How you doing, Troy?
Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome, man. Well, let's get the temperature of the crowd first before we get things rolling here right off the bat. Now, I'm sure all you guys watch plenty of TV. I mean, as geeks, we're sort of required to do so, right?
No, once in a while.
Okay.
My TiVo's recording right now as we speak.
There you go. Everybody here, let's see. Give me a round number. Around how much TV do you watch a week?
Oh, I don't want to go there.
is too much a nice round number for you?
That works, actually. Yeah, too much, I'd say, is about 10 hours. So would I be right about that, or...?
When we're not in rerun seasons, yeah, probably, maybe a little bit more than that.
My VCR gets a lot of work, let's put it that way. Like, I've got, like, three VCRs in my house, so I've got, you know, Boston Legal taping in one room, and then I've got something else taping in the other room, something else taping in the other room, and then I got to sit down and watch all of it, and it's like, oh, man, by then it's too little too late. But some of my favorite shows happen on basically channels that would be considered, quote-unquote, genre channels, and that's what I'm trying to get here. Now, when you guys first came into TV, what channels were you drawn to? Were you drawn to the more general channels, like a TBS or something like that, or something that's more localized, like a sci-fi channel? I'll ask John first.
I guess I'm a little bit older than you guys then, because when I started, there was ABC, NBC, CBS, and this other thing called PBS.
I remember that, yeah.
There might have been a few UHF channels, but really that was about it.
Okay, well, when you first got cable then, let's put it that way.
Oh, first got cable. Still, even then, it was mainly the major networks. It's really only been in the last, I would say, 10 years or so. I mean, really, once the basic cable channels really started up and started getting strong, that I've, you know, switched over to that. And now I'm watching a lot more on things like Sci-Fi Channel, you know, and other networks like USA and stuff, versus the main networks.
What about you, Chris?
Yeah, just like John, I started a long time ago. I remember ABC, NBC, CBS, but I seem to be was more of the local television, because they showed more of the niche-type TV. You know, UHF channels were showing, like, Kimba the White Lion and things like that, and Star Trek and things like that. So I was, as a kid, I was watching more UHF. But when cable came around, I seemed to was drawn first to the, like, HBO, Showtime, because of the big movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now as the other channels have been coming along, you know, started with the MTV and then eventually we had, like, Sci-Fi and Cartoon Network. But, yeah, I seem to be more and more into that niche area of, you know, cartoons or sci-fi or whatever. You know, I seem to not to watch as much network television as I used to in the old days.
I would agree with that as well. Same here. Troy, how about you?
Yeah, the same thing for me. I mean, it was back, you know, back in the day, I guess you could say, when you know, you're watching Robotech on, you know, the local channels, and, you know, Star Trek was, was showing, you know, two or three times a day on the different channels, you know, and then you get into the cartoons and that type of thing. And it's the same thing going into the, you know, when we first started those cable channels, like Sci-Fi Channel, they weren't showing a lot of good stuff. I mean, it's just been the last 4 or 5 years that they've really started getting on the ball. And I think a lot of that is due to, like, The Sopranos and stuff on HBO, where these other networks, you know, these genre niche-type networks have, like, you know, said we could do the same thing, you know, like Nip/Tuck on FX and Rescue Me on TNT, that type of thing.
Rescue Me on FX as well, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that one thing that I've noticed, though, over the past couple of years is that these genre television networks that, you know, we've grown to love, stuff like Sci-Fi Channel, stuff like USA, stuff like Comedy Central and Cartoon Network, in expanding themselves, they seem to be leaving a bit of their original audience behind. I mean, I myself, I've been a huge Adult Swim supporter since Cartoon Network started with that, but obviously even before that, from the days of Cartoon Network showing stuff like Looney Tunes and Scooby-Doo and all that, they've left that to Boomerang, their secondary channel, and they seem to be sort of changing up what they're doing to the point where they even showed Spider-Man the movie about 2 weeks back. And I'm thinking to myself, this is Cartoon Network here, okay? It has cartoon in the title. And they're showing Spider-Man the movie. This seems a bit odd and jarring to me. You know, sort of like this is a channel that I've grown to know and love, and it's changing on me here. What the hell's happening?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it seems almost like they've decided they've run out of stuff to show and are starting to expand. But then again, they come up with Boomerang, which they're showing what they originally showed, all the old cartoons. What people wanted to see in the first place. It makes no sense sometimes. It seems like they want to grow. They want to become more than what they were before.
Yeah, but what is that, though? That's the question. What do they want to become?
Safe programming.
Yeah, so they want to become safe viewers.
Yeah, I guess. But wouldn't they sort of gain more viewers by sort of like building upon what they had before as opposed to sort of leaving that behind and, you know, going in a completely new direction, like showing live-action movies? I mean, I'm not quite sure if that's the direction the Cartoon Network should be taking. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, do you enjoy this new direction where they're showing stuff like Saved by the Bell, of all things? I mean, that completely took me by surprise. I mean, Cartoon Network, I mean, they said that they were showing things that are quote-unquote cartoon in spirit, but that's not even close to cartoon in spirit. That's you know, A.C. Slater trying to get a date with Jesse. That's not cartoon to me at all. I mean, what do you guys think? I'll start it off with you, Troy. I mean, do you like this new direction the Cartoon Network's been taking?
I'm not a big fan of the direction that they're taking, but I mean, I can see where if they hit a ceiling with the amount of viewers, and let's say they show Spider-Man, where they get X number of people who don't normally watch the network, but want to see Spider-Man, you know, they're going through their guide and go, oh, look, Spider-Man's on, I want to see that. And it's not somebody who normally watches the network. They're showing, you know, all of their commercials, they're showing all of their promos for all their other shows.
True.
Plus, you're getting the advertising for people who they might charge a little bit more for advertising on Spider-Man, because the advertisers are thinking more people are going to be watching Spider-Man. They're going to be watching, you know, South Park or something. So they're going to charge a little bit more extra. They're going to make that much more money, and hopefully with that money turn around and buy better quality programming, you know, from, you know, adding to Toonami or something like that.
I guess I can see where you're coming from there. How about you, John? I mean, what do you think about this new direction?
Well, I think they're defining, you know, cartoons kind of as Saturday morning programming, you know, back from when we were kids.
Yeah.
Which Saved by the Bell would fit as, and thematically so would the Spider-Man movie. And it really comes down to they're probably trying to keep that network, you know, safe for kids in an almost misguided attempt, because, I mean, look at the wealth of cartoons that they have that they're not going to show or not show in the original format, as, you know, cases like the Speedy Gonzales stuff, the Roadrunner Coyote stuff, where they'll edit it down to get rid of some of the violence or whatnot. You know, the real irony of that is the people who grew up on the original version of those cartoons are now that age group that are making the decisions, deciding, no, kids shouldn't see that, which is, you know, kind of ironic. I mean, the funny thing is there's just this huge library of, you know, cartoons and whatnot that, you know, hasn't seen the light of day since it was originally aired. And either for, you know, they don't have the rights to it, or they think, you know, parent group will, you know, just go up in arms if they air it or whatever. You know, it's unfortunate, but it's almost understandable.
I guess, but is that just the society that we live in now where everybody gets offended so much easier than they did when they were younger? Because again, like you're saying, these are the kids that grew up on this stuff, and now all of a sudden they're older and they're saying, well, our kids can't see this. Well, they saw it and they weren't really affected negatively by it. Why can't our kids sit down and watch this and actually, you know, be engrossed by it like we were?
I'm completely offended you asked, of course. I think it's a combination of either too many lawyers or too many people on some kind of moral crusade for whatever reason. You know, I mean, there's been nothing to indicate, you know, watching some sort of violence or whatever on a Tom and Jerry cartoon would actually cause any damage to anybody. But, I mean, that unfortunately is the society we're in. So.
I find it interesting that our conversation on genres has already drifted off to censorship and all that, because they are they are sort of related when you think about it.
I didn't use the word censorship, and I was careful not to.
Okay.
Because these are people, you know, choosing what they air on their own channel or their own network. That's not censorship, technically.
True.
Censorship is if somebody else says, no, you can't. So if the government said, no, you can't air these things, that's censorship. We're not there yet. But it's almost a, you know, defense mechanism, I guess, to prevent such a thing from coming.
Yes, there won't be any Muhammad drinking tea with Peter Griffin or anything along those lines. Chris, would you be offended if any of your, you know, kids watched any of those old Speedy Gonzales cartoons that you might have watched when you were younger?
Well, I don't have any kids, but
well,
no, that, actually,
exactly.
I would show it to them, but you know, but if I was a parent. It would be one of these things that were, well, my child's ready for that. Okay, go ahead and I'll let him watch that. Maybe the first time, sit there and watch it with him. But it really comes down to being a parent as opposed to having somebody else being a parent for you. I don't think it's a network's place to, you know, to say, well, your kids shouldn't watch this, so we're not going to show it to you or make it not available. I mean, they can do what they want with their own network, granted, but as a parent, I should have more control. I mean, if I don't want my kid to watch that, I can turn that TV off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's it. Bottom line, the network shouldn't worry about my kid. I should worry about my kid.
Which is a major problem with a lot of society today. I mean, a lot of people, you know, they look for the FCC to make the decisions as opposed to actually making them in their own homes. And when I look at that, I'm like, I remember this very well because when somebody told me this, it was absolutely insane. And I believe I saw it on the boards first, but I'm not entirely sure. With this one manga book. Yeah, no, excuse me. When I was on Around Comics, we discussed this. This one manga book that was checked out about 100 to 200 times, and one mother complained because there was one somewhat offensive piece of artwork in it. And because of that one mother, it was pulled from the library. One mother making a difference when 200 people checked it out and had absolutely no problems with it. That's the society that we live in today.
That's terrible. It's a shame, you know, that it used to be majority rules. Now it's the minority rules. You know, one person makes a decision for thousands of other people. Nobody else had a problem with it. Suddenly one person did, and now it's gone.
That's well, true.
And those decisions aren't always based on fact, but on, you know, perception or opinion. I mean, there was the comic retailer or the clerk at a comic store who went to jail for selling an adult comic to an adult. And basically the reason he went to jail was, well, comics are for kids. Everyone knows that.
Oh,
so, I mean, that's the kind of society we live in, good, bad, and different. I mean, it's people have values. They want to impose those values on other people for what they perceive as the good of society. We've seen that on Saturday morning cartoons. Part of why there's so few of them left is the standards and practices are, you know, you can't shoot a gun, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it got to where it was hard to tell a compelling action story of any sort. You look at Super Friends from when it started and the challenge of the Super Friends era, that, you know, end of it, compared to the very end, where, you know, you would see, you know, laser blasts, and that would be about it. You know, Superman could punch a robot, but couldn't punch a person, you know, be it a villain or whatever.
So, standard and practices are, you know, they're crazy anyways. I remember reading something, I think it was Paul Dini and Bruce Timm, when they first started the Batman animated series. Standards and practices said you can't show handguns, you can't show people shooting handguns. And they were like, well, what can we do? And it's like, well, you guys have got like a 40s vibe going, 30s vibe going, right? And they're like, yes. And, well, you can show Tommy guns. You know, submachine guns, Tommy guns, blowing people away is fine, but you can't show a handgun.
That is insane.
You know, so, you know, I mean, I guess maybe standards and practices are saying, well, obviously kids can't really get a hold of a Tommy gun, so I guess we can show them, but they can get a hold of a handgun and shoot somebody in for an accident or whatever reason, and, you know, people get sued and all that, but no one has Tommy guns anymore, so...
Well, I mean, maybe if your father's Tony Soprano, I mean, maybe you might have a problem, but, you know...
Well, how do they justify lasers, then? I mean, we can't get a hold of a laser gun, but they wouldn't let you...
The minute, you know, if people start having laser guns for home defense, that'll be out too, and the whole thing's ruined. I mean,
yeah. Right. Well, you know what? When that does happen, I'll be the first online to get a laser gun, because laser guns are freaking cool. I'm sorry. I might never use it, but I need it.
Laser guns don't kill people. People kill people.
How very, very true. Now, let's get a bit closer to the topic here. I guess we can start things off with MTV, because I'm sure that we all know from watching television that MTV used to show music videos. Now, I'm sure you guys remember that back in the day, right? When MTV was music television and not, you know, money television, which I like to call it now, because that's basically all they're about. But mind you, all television networks are, so I can't blame them. You look at MTV now, you're lucky to find music videos at 2 a.m. That's it. You can't even wake up to music videos anymore. A friend of mine used to wake up to MTV too, and she can't anymore because they show, like, random television shows. That's it. I mean, what the hell happened to MTV?
That's a good question. When they first came online, I remember that day at a friend's house watching the Little Man on the Moon and then going into the very first video, and it was like, wow. And you're right. Nowadays, I don't even stop anymore on MTV. It's not music television. It should be renamed Money Television or something else. But what happened? I don't know. It just, they kept growing, but they moved away from their target audience, and now they're just MTV in name only. That's it.
Well, did they move away from their target audience, or did their target audience start to move away from them?
That's the question, actually.
Yeah. Did the videos stop getting their ratings, and then they realized that reality TV was either, you know, just as cheap or potentially cheaper to produce, and therefore they went down that road?
I think, actually, it was a little from column A and a little from column B, because I think when they came out with the first Real World, that was their big experiment. Because I remember they did one practice Real World before they even did it. They never even made air. And they liked the way that it you know, turned out. They liked how easily they were able to make it. And then when they finally aired the first one, it had huge ratings. The music videos were still making good ratings, but this reality show got amazing ratings, and I guess they saw from that, well, hey, maybe we should go this route. Maybe the music videos are a thing of the past, maybe. I got it.
Okay.
Well, I definitely watched the first three or four seasons of Real World. I mean, that's what everybody was watching, so, I mean, it was something that I was interested in, and, you know, I think MTV did realize that, you know, we're not spending as much money. We're making a lot of money with advertisers, so let's keep on doing this thing and find other shows, you know, that work. And I guess when it was Real World, and then Road Rules started up, and then, you know, from there, now it's Viva La Bam, and, you know, it's more of a, this is what the cool kids are doing and liking, as opposed to selling the music.
Is it just the fact that the cool kids got older and they tried to get themselves new cool kids, and this is what the cool kids were into? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, people who started off in the 80s, they're not the age they were when they started off in the 80s anymore, and maybe they're not going to watch MTV as much as they used to, and they want to get this new audience?
I think that's why they started VH1, actually.
Okay.
You know, the whole, this is the next generation, you know, so...
And now VH1 doesn't even show music anymore.
No, they don't show it either.
You got to turn to VH1 Classic. And see, that's great. VH1 was the classic channel, and then they made VH1 Classic. And as soon as that happened, I'm like, okay, where the hell am I? What happened to my world? Because this is not it anymore, you know?
Now, the classic is the one where they show all the 80s videos, right? The ones that we used to watch on MTV when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's the channel I would watch normally then, is watching all those videos that I watched when I was a kid.
And half the people don't even get that VH1 classic. You know, you got to be on, like, satellite or something like that to get something like that.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it either.
I don't get the whole concept of it in the first place. But, but again, I guess maybe that's just me. I mean, music videos in general, I mean, they were a commodity at first. Did they become a passing fad? I mean, what do you think, Troy?
I think they did become kind of a passing fad because people weren't really watching them. Now with the whole video iPod and, you know, iTunes selling the videos, I think they, you know, they've been reinvigorated, you know, because they're worth something now. I mean, you can sell them to iTunes and you can sell them on other different places online. You know, those people who love those bands, you know, who would do any, you know, those Uber fans, just like we're Uber fans of comics and genre stuff, there's Uber fans of those, you know, Madonna and stuff like that. And you can go on iTunes and buy all of her videos, or you can, you know, directly from her or directly from the record company buy DVDs with all of her videos. So I think they're, you know, right now, you know, becoming something that the record companies are liking. You know, one bright spot in a sea of badness for the record companies right now.
Chris, do you think we might actually see like a reversal of roles here? Because what Troy just mentioned, I mean, the fact that music videos are popular again, do you think we might start seeing more music videos on MTV and VH1 again, and maybe less reality TV? Because regular TV, the networks, have been showing a lot less reality lately. So maybe MTV's next?
I don't know. I'd almost think that MTV might start up another channel for that. I don't think they'd ever go away from the other stuff. I think they've had too much luck with it, too much good ratings. I would love them to go back to the old days, but I really more see like them starting up their own version of another, like MTV Classic or MTV Real Videos or something, you know, another channel.
Or MTV, where they're actually, no, seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
I mean, to be honest, I'd probably tune in once in a while to check up, see what's going on with him. But yeah, I don't think they'd ever go back. The networks don't like to make admit to mistakes like that, so they would rather just say, "Well, we're going to do this." You know, the whole kind of new Coke thing. You know, they don't want to admit to making a mistake. They'd rather rename a product and then give us what we hopefully want. You know, the videos again.
Yeah, let's not mention New Coke, please. For our sakes, let's not mention New Coke. The stupidest idea in the history of marketing is New Coke, but let's keep that out of our minds and pretend it never happened. Oh, man. John, I mean, do you think there might be an MTV3 someday or M3 or something along those lines that might actually show us what the hell we want to see?
Well, I mean, anything's possible. I really doubt it, though. I have to wonder if part of the problem with the music videos is if they almost priced themselves out of the market. Because, I mean, back when they started, it was get the band, put them on a stage, get a couple of cameras, have the cameraman walk around, bam, you've got your music video. None of this, okay, let's go get the computer effects people to work for a month or two to get some real cool stuff. And let's get some high-paid actors, some dancers, let's get some choreography, let's get this whole, you know, fancy lighting thing. Let's do a week-long shoot or whatever. I mean, obviously, that's got to cost more money. And, you know, I got to wonder if it was, you know, cost-effective marketing for the musicians and stuff. I mean, maybe it is. I mean, I have, you know, no idea how the music industry works. It's a complete mystery to me.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, though. We almost saw a resurgence when TRL was popular, back when Total Request Live first started out. I mean, I couldn't stand it because there was all these music videos of, you know, all the pop stars. Like, I didn't want to see Britney Spears gyrating in front of me. But, you know, that was sort of like a bit of the resurgence. You saw, like, Making the Video start up and a couple other video shows on MTV and VH1 coming back. But that faded to the wayside again, almost as if, you know, hey, it came back for 3 seconds, but this still makes more money for us, so we're still going to go this way.
It just seems that when it started, you know, a couple of the songs from a given album would get a video, and then in the heyday, it seemed like everything off an album would get a video, yeah. And now we're back to just the big song or two from an album.
Well, this could also have to do with the fact that terrestrial radio is, what's the best word, crap. I mean, there.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't listened to radio in a while.
Well,
yeah, I think there's a thing called podcasting that we've all kind of gotten into. So
I have no idea what you're talking about. What is this podcasting that you speak of? This is foreign to me. And you know, well, it's funny. I'm in a class right now, TV criticism in my college. It's the last class I take until I'm out of college. Woo woo. But in it, we talked about things that we were interested in. And when I mentioned podcasts, I'd say there were three other people in the room who knew what the hell a podcast was. And it doesn't surprise me much, because I guess in our community we know about it because, well, hell, we're all part of the Comic Geek Speak forums, which happens to be a podcast. But for the regular folks out there, for the guys who might just, you know, listen to music all day long and might still watch MTV and all that, they might not exactly know what a podcast is. They might have an iPod, but that's the only pod they know.
I find that surprising and disturbing, because typically a TV criticism course is taught by the College of Communications.
Yeah.
And you would think those people would know about technology related to communications. So.
And working at the radio station as long as I have at that college, you'd be surprised.
Well, I mean, I took a TV criticism course in college, but that was, you know, long before iPods, MP3s, or anything of the sort. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really strange, because I thought I heard a statistic a couple months back that there were actually more podcasts than radio stations now.
Really?
Yeah, and that I was like, wow, that I could see that, because there's so many genres and niches that podcasts fill, as opposed to regular talk radio does. You know, besides talk radio has what, sports,
yeah.
Health, people like Dr. Laura, you know, spouting their thing, you know, and
annoying DJs talking about what song's going to come up next, you know, that sort of stuff. Hey, we got a great one coming up from Billy Gallo now, right for you right now on WHRZ, you know.
Yeah, this is the morning zoo crew at our wacky morning radio show, you know. And when I heard that statistic about more podcasts, I thought this was the wave of the future. I mean, satellite radio, that's great, you know, that fills another need, you know, for people who want different things in terrestrial radio. And you're right, I think terrestrial radio is garbage nowadays. It's dying. It's a dying art form.
Well, that leads me to my question, actually. Because of podcasts, because of video podcasts and audio podcasts and all that, is that one of the reasons why genre television and genre radio and all the genre stuff in general seems to be sort of falling to the wayside? Because there's so many different genres you can find online, podcast-wise?
I don't know that they're falling by the wayside. I think it's changing the way the fan base works.
Okay.
Because now you've got podcasts on shows like Lost, Battlestar Galactica. I mean, even things like Power Rangers and whatnot.
Ah, yes.
It allows people with similar interests and whatnot to congregate, to communicate, I mean, just like we're doing now. So it organizes the fan base in a very different way than it had been previously. And I see that as a good thing.
Well, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's a focusing also from those genre things to constantly put out better programming. Battlestar Galactica, a lot of people, when that first came out, there were a lot of old fans from the old show, you know, we're going to hate it and stuff like that. And it's just consistently one of the best written television shows on TV on any network. I mean, they, for God's sakes, wasn't Monday, I guess, they won a Peabody Award.
Wow.
So yeah. That, and of course, I can't remember which episode they won it for. But Peabody, that's a major television award, communication award for social commentary. You know, of course, they gave an award to South Park also, so I don't know how good they are. But
and Stephen Colbert, don't forget,
yes,
he has one too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Stephen Colbert is the man, so they are given out to very, very intelligent people, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the quality, you know, I mean, that just says to me that it's quality programming. And that's what matters the most to me, I think, than having a lot of program. You know, I would rather have five really good genre programming than have 50 crappy ones and say, oh, well, look how great we're doing. We've got 50 shows on the air. You know, they're all crap. I'd rather have five really good ones, like Battlestar Galactica, the new Doctor Who, that's come mm-hmm. out, you know, Lost, that type of thing. You know, that's what's really getting me right now.
Yeah.
Is we came from, you know, the crappy, you know, Battlestar Galactica in the 70s, Buck Rogers, you know, with in the 80s, you know, that type of thing. And it's been consistently getting better over the years, thankfully, you know, with like X-Files and Buffy and Angel, Smallville, you know, the Stargate series, which is the longest running genre television show now.
I believe so.
Yeah. With the longest running scripted drama show or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a genre show.
Oh, yeah.
So they have to be making money. And I think the quality, even though the stuff might be breaking up and even though they might be showing stuff that genre people are going, why would they show that on my sci-fi channel? Why would they show that on my Cartoon Network? You know, I think we just have to accept it and be glad that they're showing quality programming also.
Well, I'd say it's definitely a resurgence for sci-fi because I was a fan of Sci-Fi Channel. I haven't really been too much of a fan of Sci-Fi Channel. I'm going to have to get back into it now because I hear how great Battlestar Galactica is. You know, I hear how great the Doctor Who is. I haven't actually sat down and watched it myself yet because I stopped watching sci-fi the minute they canceled Farscape. Because I was a huge Farscape fan, and I felt they wrongly canceled it when they did, because that was their moneymaker, basically. When they got rid of that in favor of, like, a Dune series and a couple other things that they were putting out, I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? Invisible Man was a great show that I used to watch on Sci-Fi Channel that was totally worth at least a second or third season, and you didn't get that out of it. Sliders, I was a huge fan of, and they canceled that. That was their number one rated show when it was canceled. Which says something right there. I'd been out of sci-fi for a while. I'm going to get back into it, hopefully, now. But for a while there, I just could not stand watching what they were putting out. They're finally getting back to their ways now. And yet, at the same time, ECW wrestling. What?
Yeah, it boggles the mind. It really does.
It really does. What the hell does ECW wrestling have to do with sci-fi? And don't tell me, oh, they're bringing in a vampire group, because they're only bringing in that vampire group because it's on sci-fi, and sci-fi is forcing them to do it. WWE does not want to do it, but they're going to do it because they can't get it anywhere else.
I think it all comes down to demographics. The wrestling apparently hits the exact demographics that sci-fi normally has. It's potentially a win-win for both.
Well, I don't know.
is it going to take away something else, or is this going to be something like the filled dead space that they would normally have infomercials
on?
That's
a very good question, actually. Let me see if I can bring up if they know what time it's going to be airing yet, because, let's see.
Well, keep in mind that, you know, the Sci-Fi Network has very little in terms of original programming. They do a couple of miniseries a year. They've got the two Stargates. They've got Battlestar Galactica. Doctor Who is something off BBC. So, you know, most of their other nights of programming are reruns of, you know, either Farscape, Sci-Fi, or Stargate, or whatever, other shows.
X-Files. They show X-Files on Sci-Fi, too, I think.
Yeah. But again, that's a rerun of an existing show. So if they can take the wrestling and give them another night of original programming...
Well, that's what wrestling used to do for USA. I mean, back in the day when La Femme Nikita used to air directly after stuff like Monday Night Raw, and when Silk Stockings used to be on the air, you know, and they used to be able to play that off of wrestling as well. It says here that from the looks of things, ECW is going to be airing on Tuesday, June 13th. That's the first one at 10 p.m. on Tuesdays. So it's Tuesday, June 13th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time and Pacific.
Well, and so keep in mind, there were two tent poles for the UPN network. One was Star Trek, and then the other was wrestling.
Yeah.
So
wrestling goes way back to the dawn of television. That was always something that they would show. I remember hearing about how they had old black and white wrestling matches that, you know, everybody was watching it, even though, you know, people wouldn't admit to it, I guess. Even then, it had that stigmatism of, like, lowbrow or something like that, but... Wrestling has always been on television. If it's going to be on Tuesday nights at 10, it's not like it doesn't seem like they're taken away from anything but maybe a repeat of another show that, you know, like where they would show nothing but repeats of Stargate or something like that. Well, that's
actually
fine,
at
I
that
guess.
Hour, they'd probably just be doing a rerun of one of their movies.
Probably, yeah. Tuesdays it really hasn't been much for sci-fi from what I remember. I mean, they haven't really showed too many new shows on Tuesdays in the past, but. There's been a lot of outcry not much outcry from the fans of wrestling, but a huge outcry from the sci-fi fans. And I mean a huge outcry from the sci-fi fans of this announcement. I mean, from the sounds of what of us, we don't really mind too much. And I minded at first, but then I thought about it. Wait a minute, I'm not going to be watching this anyway, so what the hell? I haven't watched wrestling in like 4 years. I'm not going to watch it specifically because it's on Sci-Fi Channel. But I guess it all depends on the ratings. Because if the ratings aren't there, obviously this will be off the air really damn fast. I mean, Troy, I mean, do you think that ECW wrestling in any way is going to affect Sci-Fi Channel negatively?
I don't think it's a negative thing. I mean, it's definitely the same demographic. I mean, like it or not, we're not fans, but I know there's, you know, obviously fans on the CGS boards of that type of programming. And like I said, you know, you get that target demographic that the advertisers want. They're selling the commercials for that much more. Sci-Fi Channel is making that much more money, and they have that much more money to spend on the stuff that we actually want to see. Maybe they're going to spend a little bit more on those cheesy B science fiction movies they do, or, you know, Battlestar Galactica gets a couple extra million to make it look that much more better, or they're buying, you know, a couple extra seasons of Doctor Who, or they're even buying the old seasons of Doctor Who. I would love to see those reruns on Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, I remember back in the day watching them on PBS, you know, 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday, you know, watching those old Tom Baker episodes, you know, are still some of the best Doctor Who, the best science fiction stuff out there. And if they can buy the next season or, you know, buy, I know they're talking about a new Prisoner television series BBC's thinking of doing. I would love to see that on Sci-Fi Channel instead of downloading it off of BitTorrent.
Wait, no. You don't download anything off BitTorrent at all. We're all law-abiding citizens here. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, of course I don't, you know, I'm down with Pirate Bay and all that stuff exactly like everybody else is.
Yeah, in translation, don't listen to my last episode if you think I'm down with Pirate Bay, because that's certainly not the case. Oh, man, holy crap.
Yeah, we don't need the RIA or the MPA knocking on our doors.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Chris, I mean, do you think that this is just going to, you know, end up benefiting sci-fi in the long run because they'll have more money to spend on stuff?
Yeah, I actually do agree with that. It almost sounds like it's being like a sellout, but yeah, they're going to make money off this. They're going to make probably a lot of money off of this. And if they can put some of that money into getting new shows, buying old shows, I'm for it. I know it sounds like I'm selling out here, but you know what? I can't see a real downside. They're not taking away from other things that I love. They're not like canceling Battlestar Galactica so they can put ECW wrestling in there. They are just putting it someplace where they have a hole, and if they make money off of it and buy, you know, old Prisoner episodes or Red Dwarf or something like that, I'm for it.
And John, I mean, obviously, would you share the opinion of these other two fine gentlemen?
Yeah, I mean, Sci-Fi is definitely seeming to be in a growth phase right now. I mean, they've got an incredibly solid Friday night lineup with, you know, Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, and Battlestar Galactica. They've got it now to where they show those in 10-week blocks or whatnot, and they've got another three shows that, you know, can make up for the rest of the year. With Doctor Who, there's talk of a third Stargate series.
And a Battlestar Galactica spinoff as well.
Exactly, Caprica. Mm-hmm. There's even talk of a matter of fact, I think it's already in production, a Doctor Who spinoff, Torchwood.
Wasn't there Papa Midnight or something like that also from a Marvel property, if I remember correctly? Like they were thinking about that at one point or another?
Not that I've heard of, okay. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Okay. But, I mean, they finally got where, you know, they are the place to go for sci-fi programming, as it always should have been. So if they want to take some of their time and some of their money to do a wrestling night, to get the advertisers or whatever, I mean, I hope it pans out for them. I don't see it as a risk. I don't see it as impacting the genre shows at all. It just seems like, you know, an odd choice from my perspective, but you know, they've made so many other good choices that, you know, Melinda, to kind of trust them on this one.
And it's Brother Voodoo, by the way. Brother Voodoo, that's what I meant to say off the top of my head. Brother Voodoo's going to be coming to Sci-Fi.
There was also talk of Strike Force Mortuary series.
I would love that show.
Thousand Days or something like that. They were changing the name, but yeah.
I wonder who approached who. Did Sci-Fi Channel approach ECW saying, we're here, you're going to be doing a new show, we would like you to be on our network? Or did they, ECW, say, hey, you know, we're looking for a home, you know, can you provide one for
us? It was WWE approaching Sci-Fi, I would guarantee you, because WWE is not nearly as popular as it was, say, 5 years ago, and they had to fight to get on USA in the first place, because they basically got kicked off of Spike, because they were not getting the ratings they used to. So I would guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, that it was WWE approaching Sci-Fi, not the other way around.
So you think they may... I'm sure they did their homework, so they must believe that people who enjoy the wrestling are also Sci-Fi fans, so... They must know something. I mean, they're not just going to go to some channel and say, hey, how about this channel, you know?
Oh, it's funny because, sadly, I think they might have very well just done that. And I'd hate to say that because it goes against exactly what we were talking about before, but WWE really wanted a network to put this on. And I would not be surprised if they basically just shopped it around to everybody and said, you want this? Please want this. We need you to want this. We need to put this somewhere.
I'm surprised it didn't work on Spike. I didn't even know that they had wrestling on Spike. So that, I don't know, that bring, if they got kicked off of Spike, that brings a whole other kind of thing to it. I mean, if it didn't work on a network that is, you know, pointed to that demographic and those types of fans, you know, and it didn't work on that network, I don't see how it could work on Sci-Fi Channel.
There's kind of a hierarchy of networks. I mean, you've got the actual, you know, major networks, ABC, CBS, you know, NBC and stuff. You've got then the baby ones, which two of them just merged to CW and stuff. Then when you hit the basic cable, you've got MTV, you've got Comedy Central, you've got Sci-Fi, you've got CNN, which we won't count because that's news. Beyond that, it drops off into the ether. I don't think a lot of people even know about Spike TV. I mean, they're about to launch a Blade TV show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, has there really been much of an advertising push for that?
Bus stops. That's basically all I've seen. Bus stops around my neighborhood here in Brooklyn have been having this, the Blade advertisements on them. But other than that, no. No advertisements whatsoever.
Hmm.
Well, that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Spike has wrestling now with TNA, the competitors to WWE. But even that doesn't gross much. But, you know, TNA is sort of fledgling. That's the best way to put it. Because they're trying to take WWE's spot in people's minds. Like, they're sort of the WCW of now. That's the best way to put it. And not nearly as much selling point to go with that. Let's take the topic over to Spike TV, actually, because Spike was basically the idea of the network that was quote-unquote for men, but when I looked on TV, when Spike TV first happened, I thought to myself, wait a minute, we have networks for men already. Why do we need another one? But they said, no, they were the first. And I said, Are you really? Seriously? You're trying to tell us that you're the first network for men? I don't quite know what genre that falls upon. The only genre you can say is the male genre, but, you know, women watch it too. It's hard to believe, but yeah, women do watch Spike TV too.
Doesn't this go back to nobody shows music videos anymore?
Yeah.
Because didn't they start as the Nashville Network?
They did indeed, yeah. They were then TNN, and then the national network TNN, and then they switched over to Spike TV and got a lawsuit with Spike, you know, with Spike Lee.
Yeah.
like anybody's gonna get those two confused.
Yeah, right. one's a black director who screams at Nick Games. The other guy's a network, you know.
Yeah, and a former country western music channel at that.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure Spike Lee sits down to his home every single day and listens to Western, you know?
I mean, it's clearly a network in search of an identity, and they haven't done a very good branding campaign other than when they first cut over. And, I mean, really, they haven't done an advertising campaign on just about anything.
Yeah. They tried to get the cartoons for a bit. They had their own little Adult Swim block with stuff like Gary the Rat, which actually was a very good show. I used to watch that. That was Kelsey Grammer voicing a character of a lawyer who one day turned into a rat. And
then in Stripperella, then they have also...
thanks for mentioning that and ruining my day, man. I try to take that out of my mind. Freaking Spike, proving once again that Stan Lee will do anything for money, but... Oh, God. Stripperella was awful. It was god-freaking awful. That was just mind-blowingly terrible, but what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that the man who created or co-created, you know, some of the major superheroes of, you know, the last five decades was associated with that. So
yeah,
I mean, it's pretty sad. And, you know, I don't know, I'm a little bit afraid. I don't know if you guys saw the stuff on Newsarama about the four one-shots where he meets his, that Marvel's putting out, where he meets his creations. I don't know about
really?
That stuff either.
I didn't hear about that. That actually confuses me and frightens me at the same time.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I've heard about them. I probably will not be getting them.
Well, actually, it reminds me of that last episode of Spider-Man the Animated Series, where Spider-Man actually meets Stan Lee and they have a little conversation and then he goes off to his own reality, you know? But right away I think to myself, well, that's been done before, but they're going to do it again. Oh, well, what are you going to do? But
Isn't he also coming out with his own reality base? Who wants to be a superhero TV show?
Oh, yeah,
said.
Right. What do we know? What network?
That's going to be Sci-Fi, I think. Actually, last I checked, that was going to be on Sci-Fi Channel. So
apparently, they're blowing the wrestling money off.
This was in development before they got that. So no, wait, no, on second thought, no, you're right. Oh, God.
There goes Battlestar Galactica.
People want to get the genre of the geek, as it were, because we run the internet. You know, we're the guys who basically go on the internet every single day and, you know, talk about this stuff and either put it up or put it down. Sci-Fi Channel wants to try and get the comic book nerds. They want to try and get the everybody nerds and geeks and all that. Are you guys going to sit down and watch stuff like Who Wants to Be a Superhero? I mean, it sounds kind of interesting, but at the same time, it also sounds sort of demeaning, because if they make fun of the guys dressing up in the costumes, because I myself have dressed up in costume before, and my girlfriend cosplays at anime conventions all the time, if they make us look like fools, I'm really going to be pissed off by this. I talk about this a bit on one of my old GeekSpeak podcasts, but I really don't want to see them demean us.
Well, being a Star Trek fan, I've gotten that most of my life. Every TV show has made pot shots at Star Trek fans. You know, shots of them at conventions, wearing our little outfits, giving little strange little hand signals. And it is very demeaning, and you know, I've learned to, I don't know, turn a blind eye to it, but I won't go out and look for it. Like, Who Wants to Be a Superhero? I don't think so. And wasn't there one on the forums, they were talking about the Big Brother? They're going to make them dress up like geeks.
Yeah.
They said, Yeah, I don't watch that show, but there's another reason I won't watch it. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, but Big Brother in general, that's passé already, you know. Not many people will actually sit down there and watch Big Brother on a regular basis. And frankly, I don't blame them, because three-quarters of the stuff they put on there is like, you're still on the air? I didn't even know Big Brother was still on the air until just now. It's like, wow. But that also says something. Reality TV is not nearly as popular as it used to be, you know. And
well, I don't know about that. I mean, I thought, you know, I guess, what was it, is this the sixth or seventh season of American Idol that we just had? And I thought, you know, third, fourth season, that it was going the way of the dodo. But you know, one of the big stories of the end of American Idol there was that I think like five times the amount of people who voted for the last American Idol, actually five times more voted on that
really?
Than voted in the last election.
Oh, my God.
So,
man,
I mean,
see the results
like that,
of that?
Yeah. Something like that, it's just, you know, wow, that really does not bode well for, you know, the future of America.
49% of America can't be wrong. That's
exactly
what I kept saying, you know, during the past election, and, well, hell, that's the case now, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know how many people voted in the last election. I'd say like 12 million.
Something like that.
And then like 42 million or 45 million were the amount of people who voted. I don't know if it was the amount of people who voted or the amount of votes they got on the show, but still, four times the amount. That's just crazy, and it's sad.
That's frightening, man. That's the best way to put it. I mean, what society do we live in where people would rather vote on a television show than vote on who's going to be our next president? Ugh.
Yeah.
They need to combine the two, so we're going to vote on the next president on a television show.
Oh, yes, great. They can name it American Jackass. It would work perfectly fine. we'll have Simon Cowell bad-mouthing the next Democratic candidate. That'll work perfectly fine.
And I guess Randy Jackson will be bad-mouthing the Republicans.
Yes, exactly.
Dog, you don't know how to run the Senate.
And then, of course, Paul is there. I think you both did a great job, and I want to thank you all for doing wonderful work after this country went into its deficit, and you all keep it up. You're doing a great job. I love you all. Oh, man. I want to just, like, one day, I want to go onto their set, and I want to reenact that scene from Saved by the Bell. With the "I'm so excited," I want to do that at one of their things. Just watch their faces like drop, you know, because half the people I know, like I've known people who have considered going on American Idol just to be stupid.
Yeah, well, look how much money that the William Hung kid made, you know, for being the worst singer in America.
Yeah,
you know, two albums and all the media attention.
Arrested Development. He was on Arrested Development. So
yeah,
it looks like we have a hung jury.
Oh,
well, that was bad.
But moving back to the topic at hand here, we've got, along with stuff like Sci-Fi and Cartoon Network and all that, well, I need to mention here, just quickly, for Cartoon Network, Adult Swim is its own channel, basically. Just like Nick at Night was, you know, with Nickelodeon, they're two separate entities. Adult Swim is a separate entity than Cartoon Network. The whole Saved by the Bell thing, from what I have heard, was basically forced upon the people who run Adult Swim by the higher-ups, and that's something I don't want to see. I don't want to see the people running the network being forced by the people who own it to put something on, because, again, if they're not happy, they're not going to put out good stuff.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, I mean, they hold the purse strings, so, I mean, so I don't... I personally don't watch as much as Adult Swim as I used to, but if them putting on an episode of Saved by the Bell means that somebody can fight for the Family Guy on the same network and keep it on, so much so that Fox brings it back from cancellation after a year and a half, which is just an amazing feat. I don't think it's ever happened before that the show has been off the air and somebody has made so much money on it on a different network that they bring it back on the other network. You know, just that's something that you would never see happen. And if it means them showing a Saved by the Bell, you know, once a night, I'm definitely not going to watch it, but I'm going to be glad that somebody has the opportunity to put something on that they want to put on just because they put on, you know, Saved by the Bell.
Well,
so
it was the reaction on the forums as much as it was a reaction on, you know, the ratings, because so many people, I know so many people who either had never signed on to their accounts at AdultSwim.com or created new accounts at AdultSwim.com just to badmouth them on putting Saved by the Bell on. So does that say something there? I mean, if these people go and watch it, maybe, but if they're looking for outcry, they sure as hell got it.
Well, I mean, you know, basically that's pretty much what the internet is for. And I don't think that, you know, it really matters that much to the higher ups. I mean, I'm sure it matters to the executives, you know, who run Adult Swim, but the owners, I don't think they could care less because they're still they know that those fans are still going to be watching Adult Swim because you're not going to find that type of programming anywhere else.
Wait a minute, that's what the internet's for? I thought it was for porn.
That too.
Well, I don't know about that because, I mean, I may still watch Adult Swim, but I'm not going to watch Saved by the Bell.
Right,
And I'm hoping that they'll see a drop, you know, a reverse spike in their ratings, and maybe they'll realize that they made a mistake. You know,
well,
as much
I mean,
as
it goes right back to the Sci-Fi Channel. I mean, we're not going to be watching the wrestling, but, you know, there's no way I'm missing Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm missing Doctor Who. So they've got me either way. I can hate the fact that they're showing wrestling, just like we can hate the fact that they're showing Saved by the Bell. We're not going to watch it, but we're definitely going to keep on watching the other shows.
John, yay or nay on Saved by the Bell?
Well, it really depends which seasons. I mean, the first one just totally sucked. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I think my favorite episode was when Screech committed suicide and they all needed to... No.
and, Don't you have that box set of them when they went to Europe and all
that? Oh, yeah. When they met their alternate reality selves and they needed to start solving crimes. Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
If it gets them an audience and fills up some airtime, you know, so be it. It just seems, you know, like there's other programming they could and probably should be putting on at that time.
Well, how about this? Pee-wee's Playhouse. Pee-wee's Playhouse is coming to Adult Swim. It will be on, I believe, in the midnight hour, and it will air every day on Adult Swim, all 5 days of the week on Adult Swim, except for Friday. So I guess Sunday through Thursday, it will air on Adult Swim. You were negative towards Saved by the Bell. Are you guys negative towards Pee-wee's Playhouse? That's the question.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, we grew up with, and, you know, it had quality performers. You know, Paul Rubens aside and all of his problems, you know, the guy was, you know, a genius. And, you know, I mean, I don't think they can go wrong with it. I think it fits totally into, you know, what Adult Swim is all about.
So do you think they found their niche here, that you know, Saved by the Bell was the mistake and that Pee-wee's Playhouse is the success?
I agree with that.
So.
Yeah. Because I remember more adults were watching Pee-wee's Playhouse when it first came out than kids. I remember people were constantly making the jokes, the cracks, making lines from Pee-wee's Playhouse. And I think that's a good fit, actually, even though it doesn't sound like that on paper. But I remember how many adults were watching that. So I think it's a good fit.
That's why I think they should get Freakazoid up on there, because I knew plenty of people, you know, growing up. I mean, I was the kid back then, but I knew plenty of adults that enjoyed Freakazoid as much as the kids. So let's get some of those old WB shows that they don't air anymore on there and into Adult Swim. Get them in, like, the, you know, like the 3 a.m. hour where only, like, three people are watching, you know. Makes perfect sense. John, I mean, were you a fan of Pee-wee's Playhouse?
No, I'd much rather see Freakazoid.
Okay. All right, so you're in my camp with that. But would you watch Pee-wee's Playhouse on Adult Swim?
Nah, probably not.
So Paul Rubens is not your thing, huh?
Nope.
Well, and it still gets me to this day that everybody was so upset over what happened to him when he got caught in an adult movie theater. It wasn't a regular movie theater. He got caught in an adult movie theater and got arrested for doing what he was doing. Like, if it was in a regular movie theater, I would have been pissed. But, dear God, it was an adult movie theater. What the hell did they expect, man, you know? What are you going to do?
He was just going along with the crowd, I guess.
Well, they'll have to poll the rest of the crowd someday to see what else was happening. Anyway, yeah.
I think there's only so much to do in South Florida anyways.
Oh, man. That was totally not the route I was going down. But whatever you say, man.
And once again, MTV is the one who rehabilitated him when he came out during the Video Music Awards, I think,
yeah.
Wasn't it? When he came out and heard any good jokes lately. So, you know, MTV's good for something, at least.
I guess. Yeah. Hey, I still love that Andrew Dice Clay thing where they banned him for life. And
oh, yeah.
They had David Spade on the next year, Andrew Dice Clay trying to get in, and like, nope, sorry, it says banned for life. Oh, man. Tech TV. Need to mention that because it would not be genre television talk without the genre that no longer exists on television, and that, of course, is technology. Now, I used to love it, and I got into it almost exactly when it ended up off, so I was royally pissed with that. I had about a year of, you know, yay, woohoo, and then it got bought by Comcast, and I'm like, oh no, crap, what the hell are we doing? They moved them out from San Francisco to LA, and G4 Tech TV eventually just became G4, and now G4 isn't even G4 anymore, but we'll get into that later on. Were you guys fans of Tech TV?
Yeah, definitely.
I came in the same time about you did, about, you know, 18 or 16 months before they changed to G4, and, you know, Leo Laporte and Call for Help, you know, X-Play, which is still on the air, and, of course, the Screensavers, which has thankfully morphed into Twit.
But, yeah, Twit's,
you know,
great.
That's where I got all of my technology news. It's great to see, even though they were treated pretty badly, how a lot of the people that, you know, I follow personally, you know, like Leo Laporte and Patrick Norton, are doing so well now in podcasting and internet TV.
Do you think they're doing better now than they were on tech TV? Or
I don't think they're making as much money, but I think they're having a lot of fun, which is what you could see that came across on screen, especially on the screensavers, you know, that they were having a lot of fun. And I think those interviews and the type of stories that they pursued, you know, just lend themselves to podcasting. And I think, you know, Dignation with, what's his name?
Alex Albrecht and Kevin Rose.
Right, Kevin Rose. And just think of the things that we wouldn't have if tech TV was still on the air. That's kind of how I think of it.
Okay. Well, I guess that's the positive way of looking at it. But at the same time, does this prove that, I guess, maybe the tech genre just is not made for television?
I don't know about that. Maybe I got a skewed perspective of that, being out here in Silicon Valley. be out here Sundays during the day before tech TV was long gone, we would get a lot of shows. We still get shows like that. Technology Today. There was, I cannot remember the name of the show, but it was predecessor to tech TV. They'd have a half hour long interviews, people from all over the world, computer people, and it worked. Every newscast on the 11 o'clock news tends to have a tech section. You know, they come out there and the new products from Apple and from Microsoft and places like that, and it's still going strong out here. But like I said, I can't. It's for me, it's really hard to swallow that tech TV is gone. I miss it. You know, even though I still get some of that flavor out here.
John, were you a tech TV watcher, and do you severely miss it as much as we do?
Oh yeah, I mean, I watched Fresh Gear, I watched X Play, and a couple of the other shows. And I thought when G4 took it over and just, you know, dismantled it, I thought that was, you know, criminal. But, I mean, we're, you know, in the day and age where technology shows don't really need TV. I mean, we've got podcasts, we've got webcasts, we've got, you know, stuff like that. Would I like to see that on TV? Yeah. Do I miss it? Most certainly. Have I found replacements? Most definitely. I mean, one of the podcasts I follow, although I'm a couple episodes behind, is a podcast out of Australia, you know, for database stuff. And, it's great. So
yeah, and DL.TV, that to me, that's my screensavers now, because they have so much of the chemistry going. Robert Herron and Patrick Norton just get that feel of the screensavers down perfectly. Twit's more of the, you know, the conversation, but for the actual reviews and segments and all that, I mean, they even had Marty Sargent on a couple times, and that was a lot of fun when they were over at I think they were over at CES, and they had Martin Sargent doing a couple of bits there. But that is the screensavers for me now, and it does an amazing job of basically emulating the feel, even a similar set to what they used to have. It was a very, you know, small set back then even, but it's got a very similar feel to it, and I'm glad to see that we still get to watch that at least.
Yeah, I've given Attack of the Show a couple of chances, you know, when they first morphed it with Sarah Lane and stuff like that, and they've recently, since Sarah has left, they've kind of remorphed it again when they went to E3 and then came back. So I've been checking it out. They do a segment, you know, on Tuesdays with new DVDs. They do a segment on Thursdays with comics. And they seem to be hitting all the conventions. I guess they're going to be live there in San Diego for the convention. So, I'm not watching it on a regular basis, but they're doing the stories that interest me that I will, you know, I'll record them and watch them. And then, I've been watching X Play again. And, you know, it's the same show as it was on Tech TV. So, you know, after a while, after watching it 3 or 4 months straight, I'm like, you know, I'm really tired of video games, especially since I don't play them. But I like watching the show.
Yeah.
But after a few months, it's like, you know what, I really don't need to watch this. And so I haven't watched it for a while. And I just started watching it again. And that was from the E3 coverage. I wanted to watch the E3 coverage. They did, I think, 3 hours live every day of the E3. So, I mean, you know, that takes some doing. So I had to, you know, tip my hat, and I really liked what they did. So I'm going to give them a chance. I don't know how long that's going
to
last.
Well, if there's one thing I can say about X-Play is that it has continued to be as good as it was on Tech TV, but dear God, the person who created that new X-Play logo, what the hell were you thinking?
Is that the one in the round ball or the new intro?
The new intro, and well, the new intro is pathetic, but the logo with that basically looks like a cross between an Xbox and a Nintendo Wii, with sort of like the it looks like the gaming pad is the X, and then you know play underneath
right.
it. I can understand what they were trying to do, but the colors don't work at all for me. That's number one. But and the logo itself just doesn't have a feel to it. You know, it feels very static.
Yeah,
I never warmed up to the name. What they called it before, I thought
play.
Was better.
Extended play.
Yeah, X-Play. It's like, what the heck is this?
Yeah. Oh, man. And I did find it amusing, though, that there was one guy who was at E3 who was sitting there watching... Oh, God, I can barely even say this. He was there with Adam Sessler when Adam Sessler was playing a game, and he had no idea what the hell Adam was doing. Basically, he was trying to play a game, and like Adam didn't even know the controls, which was actually kind of sad. But I guess the one thing that got me about G4, though, if they were going to make it into their own network, fine. If they were going to gobble up Tech TV and get rid of it, fine. As long as they were going to stick with the gaming, because gaming was what they did. Now, they're not even G4 anymore. They're a Spike TV Lite. Which really pisses me off, because this is not the network that I even expected to find after we got rid of G4 Tech TV and just became G4. Because Attack of the Show, I can understand what they're doing with Attack of the Show, and I'm glad they changed the name from Screensavers to Attack of the Show, because it wasn't the Screensavers anymore, but everything that's on there, Cheat's gone, they made it a 60-second spot with Morgan Webb, the filter just got replaced with a new filter that's about everything, not about gaming exclusively anymore.
With Howard Stern's girlfriend.
Ugh, God. Oh, God.
Which is probably one of the smartest things they did, because Howard Stern has to, like, talk up the show every week and say, oh, yeah, my girlfriend's on this TV show, you guys should go look
at
it.
Yeah, and I love how, you know, Howard Stern has a girlfriend that looks like that only because he's Howard Stern, but... And we've got other things on there, like, okay, how many times are they going to show Fastlane?
Yeah. I mean, how many episodes did that show actually
like 18.
Film, and they show it all the time?
Yeah, like, it's like they're showing, like, a 22-episode series. I think that's what it was, 22 episodes. And they keep showing it. And they keep showing it. And they keep showing it. And they haven't stopped. Why haven't they stopped? Oh, my God.
They have the rights to it. They've paid for it. So it's probably free programming at this point.
I guess. I don't know. Well, I'd like to see whether they're actually getting ratings on it still. Once you show something about 12 or 13 times, people usually will just change the channel. It's like anime with Adult Swim. I mean, I won't sit down and watch Footy Cootie anymore because I've seen the 6 episodes of Footy Cootie so many times where if I watch it, I'm going to watch it on DVD at my home. You know, I'm not going to sit down and watch it on Adult Swim. I'm wondering if people are still watching Fastlane.
I guess maybe it's better than static, you know. Something on.
It had the girl from Saved by the Bell,
yeah,
right?
That's
that explains both of them, right?
Yeah. Six degrees of Saved by the Bell.
Oh, God. And it's all related to Scott Bakula in the world. No. you can relate anything to Scott Bakula if you try hard enough.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes reruns work. I'm still watching Cowboy Bebop on Toonami.
Okay.
You know, every other night, so... You know, stuff that's good, it never goes out of style. And hopefully, you know, I just wish Cartoon Network would split off a new and just have a Toonami channel.
It's in the UK. There's a Toonami channel in the UK, so...
See, I would love if they did that here. And I know, you know, I think, is it Funimation that's going to start? They want to start a channel here that is just going to show all of their stuff?
Yeah.
There's two aspects to that. There's starting the network, and then there's getting the channel. Because I think they've got a Toonami network here. It's getting all the cable companies to actually pick it up and give it its own channel. That's the issue.
Yeah, and Toonami itself is I mean, Cartoon Network barely puts anything into Toonami anymore, because Toonami has sort of, like, ever since Adult Swim happened, it's sort of fallen to the wayside. Because, I mean, it used to be their big block. Now it's like, well, I don't even know what the new one's called. It's that block that it used to be on it's on where Toonami used to be. It's like Fugazi or something like that. It's some odd name, and it's a pale comparison to what Toonami used to be. You know, I'd like to still see Toonami weekly.
Now, is IGPX on Saturday? Is that part of
Toonami? I believe
so. And Naruto.
Yeah. I think it is. Well, it's a combination because that's also Adult Swim on Saturdays. So it sort of becomes Adult Swim at a certain hour. I forget which hour it is, but it's just Cartoon Network is one of those channels that likes to still keep their programming blocks but put them on at crazy hours.
Right, and they seem to be jerking the fans around a lot too, you know, with canceling Justice League and canceling Teen Titans. I mean, you know, you really have to wonder what's going on.
And Legion of Superheroes.
Some of those executives.
Legion of Superheroes, I want to see it, but couldn't they have gone with the plot line that they very easily set up in JLU?
With Supergirl and stuff?
That would have been great.
Well, and they may, but that may be further down the line.
True.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and again, well, that's a genre as well, because, I mean, comic books, like we've said before, are a genre, and, I mean, Spike is you know, trying to get that with Blade and all that, and Cartoon Network is trying to keep that with their Legion of Superheroes, making a Teen Titans movie, so Teen Titans Go Japan or something like that, that's coming out soon, and they're still trying to milk the cow a bit, but, well, we're only going to watch what we like, and we haven't seen Legion of Superheroes yet, so it has to be a damn good product for us to actually, you know, sit down and watch it every single week.
Right. And, I mean, it's hard. I mean, there's so much great anime out there, and no one seems to be picking it up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think G4 had their anime block. Showtime had an animation block for the longest
Encore
time.
Encore as well.
Right. IFC right now is showing Samurai 7, which is a great, great series.
Yeah.
I'm TiVoing that every week. And, you know, it's really tough to find, you know, if it could just all be in one place, I think it would do really, really well.
And as the anime guy, I 100% agree with you on that, because I want to be able to sit down and watch new shows, you know. A lot of the stuff that comes out in Japan, we don't get for another 2 or 3 years. So just have a channel that focuses on that, that's a genre that I'd love to see.
And the DVDs are just so expensive. You know, especially, you know, when we're spending so much money on comics, you know, there's so much stuff that I would love to, you know, you go into Best Buy and you know, some of the other big box stores, and they just have those shelves and shelves of anime, and you're just like, I just want to buy everything, but it's so expensive.
Spending time on comics? Spending money on comics? Us? Nah,
yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Nah,
no way.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, DCBS has, you know, loosen the pocketbook a little bit where you can pick stuff up every now and then, but not too much.
Well, that brings me to an interesting question that I wanted to send out to all you guys. What genres that would you like to see on television that haven't been covered yet? What genre-specific networks would you like to see? And I'll start it off with you, John.
I'd actually like to see a lot more Japanese programming. I'm, you know, big-time comic book fan, big into the superhero stuff, and one of the things I've gotten hooked on is the Japanese Sentai shows. Now, sure, we get a version of them here in the U.S., but they're completely changed and turned into the Power Rangers. And it's a completely different show over there. They've got 30 years worth of this stuff. They could do a network of just that with a, you know, new programming for like a year straight if they wanted to, probably. But, I mean, seeing live-action Japanese shows and other stuff like that, I think would be interesting. I think there's a market for it. I think it'd be cool.
I think it would be cool as well. Sign it up. Let's think of a name right now and just put that baby out there right now. Oh, wait, we don't have any money.
JTV.
Ooh, wow. Hey, you could even have some J-Rock concerts on there. That'd be cool with me because, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, get the whole Japanese culture thing going.
Damn straight.
Japanese cooking show, Japanese pop
Iron
culture,
Chef.
And whatever. It'd be cool.
Iron Chef. Oh, I love just my favorite part of Iron Chef is the terrible dubs, because that makes the entire thing. That's why Iron Chef America doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, what about you? Any genre-specific stuff other than what you've already mentioned that you'd like to...
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is and like what John, in line with John was saying with Japanese, but I kind of liked more the English stuff. I mean, I know there's BBC America, but it seems to be like BBC America Lite almost. They don't put enough of what's happening there right now on. That's what I would like to see. Actually, a lot of other countries, you know, just to see their take on television and what they think would be great. You know, even if we had like an international channel where they would show like maybe news from this country and prime time from this, you know, on this day from this country, something. Just get a different perspective than just American television.
quick question on the English TV. Would you go subtitled or dubbed?
why don't we ask Amy that? That would be the question. Oh my god.
I think I want to have the option so I could just kind of turn the closed caption on if I had to.
Amy, we love you. We're only kidding. Oh man. God, now I'm cracking up. But no, I mean the international is definitely a good point there, Chris, because that's something that our country severely lacks. I mean, international news, when you watch news networks, usually isn't even there until halfway through the entire show, and it's like 4 bits from that take like 4 seconds apiece. There's a lot of stuff happening in this world that we don't know about because our country just for some reason doesn't care.
Yeah, I know on PBS they would show BBC. That just BBC International, and I would watch that because it was interesting to see a different perspective, even though it was still from an English-speaking country. But I would like to see from other shows, other things, because we keep ripping off Britain for our television shows. The Office. And,
hey, that's not a rip-off. That's a tribute.
American Idol.
Oh yeah, I mean, even going back to the old days of All in the Family, which was Sanford and Son was originally a Steptoe and Son, yeah. I believe it was. Yeah, they get our shows.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was originally a British show.
Yeah, Big Brother wasn't that.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. I mean, they get our shows. They, maybe it's a season later. They're watching Lost. They're watching Battlestar Galactica. We don't see theirs. I mean, unless you once in a while something sneaks by like Doctor Who, then I think that was more fan-driven.
Oh, sure.
People were saying,
we
want that. But I would love to see some of their program, even ones maybe not so popular, something just everyday television. I mean, you get things like EastEnders on PBS and other shows like that. I really would love to see something maybe from Brazil, one of their primetime shows or something like that.
That would be nice, actually. Yeah, because that's something that we severely lack. Get some culture in our lives for once.
And it also gives us a perspective on ourselves, because then we'll see how Americans are portrayed in their television shows.
Every way I think of how we're portrayed in Japan, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? I love when the Japanese try to dub over. There was this one that I watched called Gravitation, an anime, and there was one moment where the Japanese were speaking. They got some dude that was supposed to be from New York, and it was like, hey, where are you going? And I'm like, I live in New York. Nobody sounds like that. You're liars.
What gets me with the Sentai shows is how many English phrases they use. And it's just it's a cool thing, I guess, over there.
Let's rock,
Hey Joe, wasn't there the Simpsons episode where they were in Japan where they showed the Japanese the student
classic.
who
Hey Chief. Oh man, that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, and one thing also that I definitely agree with that 100%, because we need more international stuff here, without a doubt. Troy, how about you? Any genres other than what's already been mentioned?
Well, I have to disagree with these guys. The one thing I would say, especially with the English stuff, is I don't know what channels you guys get. I have DirecTV, and we get BBC America.
Yeah.
That I think that kind of is the answer to a lot of what you guys are asking for.
Well, we were talking about how it's sort of like BBC White, how they only get certain shows that them are the more popular, but we like to see a bit more.
Yeah, you'll still see Monty Python, you'll see Benny Hill. Those are the classics, but I mean, I want to see what's their today's show, what there's maybe last.
Well, I mean, today they were showing, I don't know if you saw the thing on the board, the new show called Hex, which I think came out about 6 months ago in England. And it's sort of, I guess you could call it like a Harry Potter / Buffy ripoff. And, I mean, I recorded it tonight. I'll probably watch it a little bit later and see how that was. But, that's a genre show that's pretty new.
The It Crowd. If you guys have not seen The It Crowd yet, track that baby down and watch it. It's 6 episodes long. It was in the UK. It's about this woman ending up in an IT department who knows absolutely nothing about computers.
So it's a reality show.
Well, she becomes the head of the IT department with these two geeks who are absolute geeks working there with her, and it's absolutely hilarious. If you haven't checked it out yet, you can probably find it on any torrent site really easily. It's a lot of fun.
Hell, that sounds like my last job.
I thought we weren't going to mention that technology there.
Oh, crap. Yeah, well, slipped out.
Yeah, and I think I remember them. I think their fans have been pretty vocal about them getting those episodes on DVD for whatever reason. The BBC hasn't gotten them on
DVD
yet.
Well, also, I love it how on one of the forums that I'm on, we have a Lost discussion thread, and every now and then there's also a specific TV discussion thread. Every now and then there'll be the occasional Lost conversation inside the TV thread, and one random UK guy will come in there and say, "You idiots, I'm a year behind!" So they'll say something like, oh wow, did you hear about what happened to Charlie last week?" They're like, "Don't tell me! God damn it!"
Hey, be nice to them. We'll do the same thing on Doctor Who, you know, because they're a year ahead.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like mess with them, they'll mess with us back.
Or Torchwood. Now, didn't they show Battlestar Galactica in Canada like 6 months before the show?
JLU aired in Ireland first. Ireland of all places. Jesus, you know, this is a U.S. made show, and it airs in Ireland first.
I remember when they were shown in Canada, they were saying, "Oh, you got to see this episode." I'm like, "Oh no, don't say anything."
I had seen every single episode about 4 months before they aired because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take the wait.
Yeah, at least they eventually air it in the U.S. Last season of Power Rangers, the Canadians, I guess, messed up, showed one, and that I don't think ever aired in the U.S. It's a special DVD-only episode or something.
Wow. Huh.
It's like, what are they thinking?
Degrassi. There you go, Degrassi. Degrassi ends up... Okay, that's my guilty pleasure. Degrassi Next Generation is my guilty pleasure, because that's actually really well acted. You know, it's got, like, the whole, like, you know, high school, junior high thing going on. But still, you know, they get that, like, 6 or 7 months before we do. So, you know, to each story.
Now, did you like those Kevin Smith episodes?
I did, actually. I liked them.
I only saw the first one, and he wasn't in it that much, so I never really tried to... Although they did come out with a DVD here in the U.S. with just those three
Jay
episodes.
Jay and Silent Bob do Canada A.
Yeah.
Which, watch, will happen in about another 5 years. Oh, boy. Let's not get into the Kevin Smith talk, though, because that could be an entirely different show.
Yeah.
Let's get some final thoughts here on genre television. Obviously, throughout our discussion, we basically discovered that genre television does exist. It's just sort of evolved. But any final thoughts from anybody out there?
I like it, and I want to see more.
Yeah, they're making me track it down. That's the problem. It's not in one place where I can find what I want. I have to search different places at different times. Like you mentioned, I mentioned the BBC America, and now I'm hearing that there are some shows that are currently being shown in England on there that I didn't know, because I've watched it every once in a while, but it's never seemed to find it. I'm having to look, and that's not right. I should be able to turn there and find what I want any time of the day, because it's designed for that, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'm getting my point across very clearly, but I'm having to look for things, and I should.
You know, I think TiVo might be the answer
TiVo,
for you, because it's
need a
you know,
TiVo.
either that or a nice DVR, because I mean it is so easy to, you know, happen to watch something, you know, see that promo, and quickly go over to the, you know, record the show, and you just forget about it, and, you know, you're checking your list of shows, and, oh, look, there it is, so...
I'm afraid if I get TiVo, I'll never see sunlight again. I'll be just watching TV 24/7.
So much easier, though, because, like,
what channel is sunlight on?
sunlight, I believe that's channel 666, but...
I think that just looks like sunlight. It's a whole nother
light. Yeah, exactly.
Coming from that channel.
It would make my life a hell of a lot easier to have a TiVo, but until they perfect HD TiVos, I'm not getting one, because I got my HD TV, and I'm not going anywhere else other than that, you know? Freaking DirecTV. Get off your asses and perfect it already, you bastards.
I've got HD DVR.
Oh, well, screw you. That's all I have to say.
I got it from my cable company.
And it works. It works well, or
works about as well as my cable internet.
All right. Well, that works.
So sometimes yes, sometimes not so much.
Well, I think that's the question earlier that you had said about how many hours. You know, I probably went from 10 to 12 to, you know, 25 hours more a week, you know, just because you're recording, you know, before you would have to set up the VCR and do all that stuff, and not, you'd really have to think about it, you really have to search for it and set it up. Now with the DVRs, it's just very easy to set that thing to record and forget about it, and so you're watching that much more TV.
Yeah, well, it would be nice to just set Rescue Me for the entire season and not have to worry about setting my VCR, so.
Yeah, yeah, plus the TiVo doesn't have that thing where it says, well, if you like this show, you might like this one. I mean, that would be great, because then it would learn my taste and hunt it down for me.
But then again, it would say, you like Iron Chef America. You might like cooking with Bob, you know, and go on that route. And all of a sudden, you're seeing cooking shows, and then all of a sudden, you know, Home Shopping Network. And then all of a sudden, from there, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm a sci-fi geek. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, I don't use that functionality with my TiVo, but, I mean, you can set by starring the people who are starring in the show, you know? So if you like Bill Murray, or if you like, what's his name, Nacho Libre, I can't remember his name now.
Jack Black,
you know, you can set, you know, record everything that has Jack Black in it. So, you know, and it'll record, like, his appearances on David Letterman or Leno, you know, anything that has Jack Black in the description, it'll record it. So, I mean, you might have seen that and just erase it, but, oh, look, I didn't know he was on Saturday Night Live.
You are watching the Scott Bakula Network. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's pretty much that exact thing. And, you know, if you have certain people who you like everything they do, it's a really great, you know, I don't want to seem like I'm shilling for TiVo or DVRs, but...
Oh, well, this is a good time for me to...
I couldn't live without mine.
This is a good
mine.
Time for me to announce my new sponsor, TiVo. No.
hey, I use Replay TV, the competitor to TiVo, and I'm happy with
it. I'll take your word for it, man, whatever you say. All right. Well, I think we could talk for hours if we tried, but then again, it's a podcast and people have lives, so I guess we might as well end it now. John, it's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope you're not drowning in your comic books yet. I know that you're probably getting there ever so slowly, but survive a little longer, my friend.
Yeah.
He loves
it's been
boxes.
Fun. I've enjoyed it.
It was fun for me as well. Chris, always a pleasure.
Thank you. It's been a slice.
Ooh, a slice. Very nice. Now it's a slice of pepperoni on it.
Whatever you want. Well, maybe we should avoid that. I know John has some problems with pizza, but...
Too true. Now I'm intrigued. John, what the hell, man?
It's called celiac disease. Have you seen the episode of House from about a month ago?
Yes, I did.
With the crazed mother killing the baby? That's what I've got, except I'm not a crazed mother. I don't hear voices, and I don't kill babies.
But
I can't eat anything with gluten, which is in wheat, oat, barley, and rye. And as a side effect of that, I also can't have anything with casein in it, which is in dairy.
Wow.
So, you know, pizza, which is pretty much, you know, gluten crust, casein, you know, for the cheese type stuff on top of it, and maybe a few other things tossed in, would do very bad things to me.
Forget about the babies. I mean, I think you need to protect those comic books of yours. Jeez.
Those are babies. What the hell are you talking about, man? Jeez. Holy crap.
You know, I don't want you, you know, rolling over in your sleep and, you know, strangling your copy of, you know, Batman number 28 or something like that.
No, the OCD is too advanced to allow that.
And for those of you who don't know what the hell we're talking about, also, for those of you who aren't regular members of the CGS forums, and if you aren't, I would highly recommend it because we have a lovely community going on there. But John Mayo has so many comic books in so many drawer boxes that he could probably have Fort Knox in his house if he tried hard enough.
Well, I kind of agree with the geek said that they need the John Mayo stamp of approval, you know, on the drawer boxes.
Hey, they get it. Yeah. They're awesome. Man.
I'm going to be in San Diego this year. I want John Mayo to sign my drawer
That's
boxes.
Awesome. I got to make it out to San Diego one of these years. Like, maybe once I actually have a job and some money, I'll be able to get out there. Because until then, I'm a college student looking for a job. So kind of hard for me to book that flight out to San Diego.
Well, and the risk is even if you can afford that in the hotel, then you're there and you may buy stuff.
Wait, hold on. Me buy stuff? It's bad enough that I buy stuff at anime conventions. I mean, at New York Comic Con, I bought way too much. At San Diego, I would basically be out of house and home. So,
imagine an exhibit hall the size of about 10 football fields.
Oh, man.
Now try to budget for that.
Oh, geez. And I'll be at Anime Next also, which is the next weekend. I have four panels there, including a panel called We Suck, which is all about video game gripes.
Why, you're not selling t-shirts?
No, I'm not selling t-shirts yet.
Okay.
Well. Maybe next year. I don't know. Maybe next year I'll actually have Geek Speak Live from Anime Next or something like that. But I'm not quite there yet with my money and all that. So let me get my last thank you out there. Troy, thank you incredibly for being a member of the panel here. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, it's been great. You know, one step closer to a lot of people's personal hero, the Shizuke. So,
who is GBD, you know, for the Comic Geek Speak podcast, if for those of you who don't know. Because, again, I keep forgetting, there are people listening to this that aren't members of the forum. So,
we don't care about
what?
That.
What?
I mean, there's people that don't listen to Comic Geek Speak.
Yeah,
second week in a row, I have somebody on my show who has bad-mouthed my listeners. That's great, you know.
I was going to say, it's okay if they don't participate in the forum, but they really, if they're into comics, they ought to check out that
Definitely. ComicGeekSpeak.com for that, and also don't forget Comic Timing over at SpeakGeekSpeak.com/Comic Timing. We're good too. So, all right. Anyway, I think we'll wrap this episode up before we get into our Seinfeld portion. So, for Chris, for Troy, for John, I'm Ian Levinstein. The email address is SpeakGeekSpeak@gmail.com. That's SpeakGeekSpeak@gmail.com. Don't forget to vote for Geek Speak over at Podcast Alley. The link will be in the show notes and at the main page over at SpeakGeekSpeak.com. And don't forget to write those iTunes reviews if you open up the podcasting tab in iTunes and search for Geek Speak. There's a nice little Geek Speak thing right there. Review my show. I like hearing what you think. And go to the forums over at SpeakGeekSpeak.com/forums if you want to talk a bit. So for everybody involved, let me love to see you. Have a great week. Enjoy your geek. And take care, everybody. I'll see you next week here on Geek Speak. Bye-bye. Or the Ambient Noise Podcast, that'll be next, you know? Like you just hear in the background every single thing that's happening in a room, and people sit down and listen to that. That'll be next.
Randomly placed microphone or something, yeah.
Oh, God. It was bad enough when it was hidden cameras. Now we'll have to deal with that. Crap.
Opening and closing music for Geek Speak provided by Dewux, Jeffrey Tosser, Pixie Trix, Shonen Samurai, and Zircon. You can find their work and a whole lot more over at ocremix.org. As of this episode of Geek Speak is officially a podcast alone and is no longer affiliated with Brooklyn College Radio. I thank Brooklyn College Radio for the past couple of years. It's been fun, but it's time for Geek Speak to grow as a podcast. So expect a whole lot of exciting podcasts to come.